Thank you, Miss Susan. Let's take our Bible this morning and let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Of course, the book of wisdom is the book of Proverbs, but the books that that Solomon wrote were great truths and great wisdom that God had given him. And you know what? It's funny. Though these things were written down over 2,500 years ago, they are so applicable to everyday life. Amen. So Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 1, say amen when you found it. We'll know you're there. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 1, it says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." Now, isn't that a great truth? "No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificed, to him that sacrificed not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath." Verse 3, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there's one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything." You say, what does that mean? They don't know anything that's happening on the earth, because they've gone into eternity, right? And it says, "Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Boy, that's a sad phrase. You know, it's amazing. You know, people that leave this world, and 6 months from now, we'll have trouble remembering their names. A year from now, we won't even think about them. There won't even be another thought. You know, you say, why do people try and make their stamp on the earth, and why do people seek fame? I'll tell you right now, because they know they're going to be forgotten. If you ask the average person today, ask these kids, "Who's John Wayne?" They said, "John Wayne? Who's that?" Bob Hope, they don't know who he is, right? You can name people in the past, they don't have a clue to begin to understand who they are. It means nothing to this new generation. And their memory is completely forgotten. I was looking on the door in there, it used to be Miss Susan's Sunday school class, and they had a thing on there, on the door to Mrs. Hill. And there's not anyone in this building, hardly, except for a few, who even know who Mrs. Hill was. Those are landmarks, but they mean nothing to the average person because they've been forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now remember, what's done under the sun? What's done here on the earth? Can I tell you, in eternity, nobody's forgotten. But on this side of eternity, everything is forgotten. "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And then verse number 11, where we take our text, it says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so the sons of men are snared in evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." Now we're taking our text out of verse number 11. And he said, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." You say, what happens to everybody? Everybody has to die. So I'm going to preach on this thought this morning, the race to eternity. You realize we're racing to eternity? And it's going to be here quicker than any of us think. And it's going to come suddenly. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word this morning, and I pray that you'd bless it. And God, we're so reminded of these things the last few weeks, of all these people that we know that have gone out into eternity. Lord, the whole 18 years I've been here, it's never been like it has been this last 2 months. People that are so close to us, so many people that are so close to us. And God, we know people that are always dying, but we've never had it this close to us. And God, so we're reminded that we're in the race to eternity. And some people are going to win this race, and some people are going to lose. And God, thank God for those in this Christian race that are going to win the eternal prize of God's heaven. And Lord, we're so sad for those that are going to lose this race and go to a devil's hell. I pray you bless the word and help me to preach it, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. This morning as I preach on this sobering thought, and it is a sobering thought, the race to eternity. It's sobering because it comes so suddenly. And in just the way of introduction, we think about this race to eternity. You see all these Fast and Furious movies? Can I tell you the race to eternity is fast and furious? The Bible says when Jehu was on his way to kill all the family and all the workers of iniquity, that he drove his chariot furiously. And Jonadab came up in the chariot with him, and he was going to the temple of Baal to destroy all the worshipers of Baal. And can I tell you, the race to eternity is a fast and furious race. Fast and furious. And again, COVID has made us consider it. Where it says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, man, it's made us consider it. When it says that for man also knoweth not the time as the fishes are taken an evil net, as the birds of the air caught in the snare, so the sons of men are snared in the evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Who would have guessed that Brother Ron would have ever been in eternity? I mean, we'd have never guessed that. But he is. James 4:14 says, what is your life? Is he even out of vapor for the pair for a little while and vanish of the way? We usually preach like this at a funeral, do we not? But I'm telling you, we're reminded, hey, that life is like a vapor. Boom, and it's gone. That's why I preach. People say, I'm sick of you preaching, telling me to prepare for my death. You need to prepare for your death. You need to prepare for eternity. You need to set your house in order. And I tell you, when you're in the hospital, you can't set your house in order. When you suddenly die of a heart attack, you cannot set your house in order. I mean, when the evil net is cast and you're taken in it, you cannot set your house in order. A vapor, boom, boom, it's gone. You see it for a minute. And Psalm chapter 90, you're right there. And in Psalms chapter 90, you have great words of wisdom that the Bible gives to every one of us. And this was the prayer of Moses, but notice what it says in verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. If you were in Sunday school this morning, Brother Dale was talking about the omniscience of God. How God knows everything. From the beginning to the end, God knows everything. Nothing takes God by surprise. It takes us by surprise, but it does not take God by surprise. God knows the day you're going to be born and the day you're going to die. The day you got saved was written down in the book of life, but that was before the foundation of the world. You say, our little mind can't comprehend that. That's right. Moses said, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years are thy sight are but yesterday, and when it is past, as a watch in the night. The Bible says that 1,000 days that a day is 1,000 days with the Lord. One day is as 1,000 days with the Lord, over there in 2 Peter. I mean, you think about what the Bible says about that, and I misquoted it, so we'll look at it. But look at 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter number 3, and again, you know, our life, it's an amazing thing. But see, God sees all these things. He sees it. He knows it. There's nothing that takes him by surprise when it comes to all these things. And I'm looking for the verse there in 2 Peter, but. Thank you, brother. It says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment. And then he says, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is as with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. One day as 1,000 years. Moses continued to write. He says, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as in sleep in the morning. They are like the grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up, and the evening is cut down and withered. We are consumed by thy anger. By thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of his countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Man, life goes by so fast. I love to look at the pictures of years ago. All them pictures of my mom and dad when they were young, and we were young. It's hard to believe Chris and Joe sat in that little chair with a fire engine and a tank sitting in their lap. And I'm thinking, man, that seems like forever ago. But it was just yesterday. You know? It seems like forever ago, but, you know, that's how your life is. You got to number your days. You got to think about some eternal things. Because, hey, life is fast and furious. The race to eternity is fast and furious. Next thing you know, you're at the finish line. And we know that the race to eternity is only fast and furious, but it's filled with danger. Life is filled with danger. It's fraught with danger. You say, why? Because there's detours of life. And Matthew chapter number 7. Hey, there's a lot of roads to run on. And the devil, let me tell you, he's always trying to detour you when it comes to this race to eternity. The devil wants to send you down a dead-end road. The devil wants to send you down a road where the bridge is out. The devil wants to send you down the road where you're going to fall off into a devil's hell. The devil's always trying to get people to go the wrong direction. Matthew chapter 7, I quote these verses, but I'm not confident in my ability to quote them this morning. Matthew chapter number 7 knows what it says. It says, verse 13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Man, there's pitfalls along the way. There's landmines. The devil wants to destroy people's life. And it says, that lead to destruction, and many be which enter thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Notice what he says, beware of false prophets come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorn or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Hey, there are a lot of false workers out there, workers of iniquity. And there's deceivers of life. I mean, John made it very clear that you got to try the spirits, because there are many false spirits gone out into the world. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to deceive every one of us. Hey, go here, do this, do that. Try this, you'll like it. And it's a cup full of death. How many of our young people are listening to the spirit of Antichrist? And they're not headed to prosperity and blessing. They're headed to destruction. And they're going 100 miles an hour to get there. It's sad. We were dropping off the kids the other night at Village Green. And this kid was out there, 19, 20 years old. And the girl used to come to church here, was sitting with him. And I'll be doggone if he didn't have a meth pipe in his hand and he lit it. Smoking meth right there on the rock by the road. And the moment you put that meth in your mouth, you're headed for certain destruction. Next thing you know, you'll be in your 20s. And instead of looking like a beautiful, wholesome person, you'll look like walking death. We were over at Gabe's over there on 2A, and this lady works there. And let me tell you, I can spot a meth addict now just like that. They all look the same, they all act the same, and they all are heading the same place, to the graveyard. The devil's fooling people. Oh, I have this thing. It's death is what it is. Hey, let me tell you, the race to eternity is fraught with danger. It's fraught with it. And the devil, his desire is to destroy. He wants to ruin every one of us. That's why Romans 12, 21 says, give not place to the devil. He's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people to devour. You go into the devil's den, let me tell you, he's looking for you. And there are landmines everywhere. It's fraught with danger. The race to eternity, it favors the young. In our text, look at verse chapter number 11. Chapter 11 and verse 9 and 10. Look what he says. Oh, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You know how fast kids spend up their youth? And they spend up their life just like that. Young men and young women spending up their virginity, spending up their holiness, spending up their purity, spending up the wholesome that they have inside of them. Something changes in a young person's life when they eat of the forbidden fruit. You put them drugs in your body, something changes. You start smoking, something changes. You start drinking, something changes. You start having sex with everybody, something changes. And that holiness and that glory and that goodness that God gives to every young person disappears. And I've seen these kids on the buses that were pure and holy and good, and all of something happened, and they lost their innocence. And no one had to tell me what they did. I knew what they had done, because their innocence was gone, and you can't ever get that back. When Eve ate of that tree of knowledge, good and evil, her innocence was gone. And her Shekinah glory was gone. Race to eternity favors the young, but you can spend up your youth in a hurry. That's why he said in chapter 12, verse 1, remember thy Creator in days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I see teenagers, 17, 18, 19, and they're hating life. 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds that are hating life and hating themselves and are suicidal, cutting themselves with razor blades. It's so sad. I'll see people out and they're grown. And their life is a little different now, but they have all the scars. I was talking to a lady and I said, so I guess you used to be a cutter. That's what they call them. I said, yeah, I used to be a cutter. I was very sad, very depressed, very suicidal. I hated myself. Can I tell you, that's what the devil wants. That's exactly what the devil, to hate yourself and to hate life and to hate others. The race to eternity fatigues the old. I'm about getting there. You say, are you feeling it? I'm only 50. I'm going to be 59, and I'll tell you right now, I'm feeling it. He said, remember thy creator days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the day years draw nigh, thou shalt have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light of the moon, the stars be not dark, and nor the clouds return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, that's your teeth, because they are few, those that look out the windows be darkened, the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be wrought low. You know, when I get up at 4:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning? And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Man, the race to eternity. It's fast and furious, filled with danger, favors the young, fatigues the old, and frightens the onlooker. Doesn't death frighten people? Verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. First, the whole duty of a man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Now, having said that, here's the message this morning. You know, this race to eternity is an individual race. You say, what's that mean? We're all running it. We're not just watching others run it. We're in the race. It's an individual race. You know, there was only one Dale Earnhardt, one A.J. Foyt, and one Richard Petty. And most kids don't even know who they are. Those are names from the past. You see how long it's been since I watched NASCAR. I mean, I can't even tell you who those people are now who are running the cars. But the point I'm trying to make is no one can run for me in my place. You know, to win, you must run your own race and stay in your lane. You know, it's amazing to me. Too many people are trying to be something or someone they are not. You got to be who you are. You know, and we're good at comparing ourselves with others. But can I tell you, that's the biggest mistake anyone ever makes? God's given you a race to run. And he's given you a lane to run in. And we need to run in our lane and run the race that God has given us. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, hey, he couldn't be bothered or consumed with what everyone else was doing. He had to worry about what he was doing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and in verse number 12 he said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves by measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. The dumbest thing you can ever do is compare yourself to someone else. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. It matters what you're doing. It matters how you're running your race. Remember in John 21, when Jesus had told Peter to follow him, and he looked back and saw John was following him in verse 20, and he said, Lord, what's this man going to do? And what did Jesus tell him? Don't you worry about what he's going to do. You better worry about what you're going to do, and I've commanded you to follow me. What are you going to do? That's what's important. One day you're going to stand before God and it's going to be you and God only. And it's not going to matter what Lee Robertson did or Jack Hiles or Billy Sunday or Billy Graham or Jack Woods or Homer Smith or Spider-Man, Superman, the Green Lantern, or the Incredible Hulk did. It's going to matter what you did. Because we're all going to give account for an almighty God of what we did individually. And when you stand before God, he's not going to be concerned about everyone else. Matter of fact, he says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. What's God saying here? You better worry about yourself. You better worry about what's going to happen when you stand before God, because you're going to stand before Him. It's an individual race. Can I tell you it's an ideological race? It's an ideological race. And God, has made it very clear in Hebrews 12:1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Can I tell you, God wants us to run a clean race? Hey, we all have a set of morals in our life. And, you know, it's funny how people's morals change with the mores of society. President Biden said the other day, "Why no longer believe life begins at conception?" Can I tell you, life begins at conception. When that egg and that sperm come together, life is created and a soul is born. And God expects us to run a clean race and not to be changing our values all the time. I think the Bible makes it very clear when it comes to this kind of stuff that you got to bring your body in subjection. And you say, "Well, it doesn't matter how I run the race." Yes, it does. Yes, it does. In anything in this nation, hey, it matters how we do it. That's why there's rules for the race. Can you imagine if there were no rules or no laws in society, what things would really be like? You want to know what that'd be like? Move to Portland, Oregon. Just this week, a man took a machete and chopped up a guy out there in L.A. Chopped him up with a machete. They had to run for their life. Chopped his eye, chopped his body, chopped his hand. The family's running to the car just to live. You say, what was their violation? They went to the beach. They just went to the beach at Malibu. They made it to the car and made it to the hospital. The DA said, "Well, he didn't mean to do it. We're going to let him go." Can I tell you right now? You better not go to LA to the beach. You better avoid California like the plague. You might not want to go to Miami. That young father, 20 years old, the guy comes up with a gun, said someone's going to die, and he points the gun at his one-year-old son, and the man jumps in the way, and he shoots the dad, and he keeps shooting him till he's dead. Well, we don't need laws. We don't need rules. Uh-huh. It's coming. They had a political cartoon. And it showed an old lady with a mugger with a knife to her throat, and she has her cell phone saying, "Hurry, send a social worker. Hurry, send a community interrupter. Because there ain't going to be no police." The young man working at the gas station in Louisiana said, "Hey," they said, "Why do you have a gun?" "To protect myself, for God's sake. These people are crazy." Can I tell you, we need to be running a clean race. And we need to have some laws to govern ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 24, Paul said, "Know ye that they that run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. For every man that strive for the mastery," excuse me, "is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beeth there, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Hey, you have to have some rules to live by. And those rules are not to guide everyone else. Those rules are to guide you. You need to make up your mind, there's some things I'm not going to do. Because if you don't make up your mind now, when temptation comes, you're going to do it. It's an ideological race. And God expects us to run a clean race, no cheating. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Let me tell you, you can't have no shortcuts. You can't have no low blows. There's no bending of the rules. You got to strive lawfully, or you're going to get in trouble." an ideological race that has courage and conviction. Hey, we got our eyes on Jesus. That's why I said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Father. You can't go through life callously and carelessly living your life. That's why he said that for those that are saved, to be careful to maintain good works. It's an ideological race. Can I tell you? It's an impartial race. Back in our text, it's an impartial race. Can I tell you, this thing comes, time and chance happens to all. There's no exceptions or exemptions. He said in verse 11, 12, I return and saw unto the Son that the race is not to the swift, nor the bound of the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, yet favor, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. We're all headed to eternity, but which eternity are you headed to? People say, well, they died and they're in a better place. Are they? Not if they don't know Christ as their Savior. There's two eternities. Matthew 7, there's two gates. There's the broad way and the wide gate, and there's the straight gate and the narrow way. Which eternity are you on? Which race are you running? Can I tell you, there are two outcomes. That's why Luke chapter number 16 talks about the beggar Lazarus and talks about the rich man. And their two outcomes, their two eternities, their two different places and what happened to them. You, Luke 16, verse number 22, and it says, it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, but the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. There are two eternities. And this is an impartial race, and you're going to one of two of these places. And Jesus Christ said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because he judges according to truth. There'll be no bribing the judge in eternity. And he will not be swayed by your sad story. He will judge according to the facts. Either you've been born again or you haven't been. Either you know Christ or you don't know him. Because he's going to say to those workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a rest for the people of God. You say, what's Brother Duran doing right now? What's Brother Jim doing right now? What's Sister Marcella doing right now? What are the saved doing right now? I'll tell you what they're doing right now. They're resting. Hebrews chapter number 4. Sometimes you think, well, I deserve a vacation. Well, they got one. They're resting from their labors. They're resting from the race. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although their works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day of this wise, that God did rest from the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. And again he limiteth a certain day, saying to in David, today after so long time, as it said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, there would have not have spoken of another day. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. What was Lazarus doing in Abraham's bosom? Resting. But can I tell you, there's no rest for the wicked. The rich man was tormented in the fire, begging for relief. You're either on the highway to heaven or you're on the highway to hell. One or the other. And we're going to arrive at one of these two places. It's an impartial race. Judgment is coming. And death takes everybody. It does. Like the fishes that are taken in the evil net. And like the birds that are taken in the snare. For man also knoweth not his time. It's going to take us. And it's such a shock when it does, though it shouldn't be. It's an important race. The race to eternity is an important race. It's the race of your life. You are literally racing for your life. And time and circumstance and the devil are against us. It's against us. It's important that you be born again. It's important that you know you're going to heaven. It's important that you get your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, what place are you going to come in? The place God wants me to come in. And I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And all the world is going to see how I ran my race. Can I tell you it's an inconceivable race? Because you never know where the race is going to take you. We're on this road of life and we don't know where it's going to go. We know where it's going to end in eternity. But we don't know the route. God reveals the route as we grow in faith. Peter wouldn't have run if God would have revealed to him everything that was going to happen to him. And see, God wants us to run the race responsibly, but we can't begin to conceive all the things that God's going to do. When I got saved, I never dreamed I'd be standing here this morning preaching behind a pulpit to a church family. I'd never dreamed I've gone the places and done the things that God allowed me to do. But can I tell you, when this race is over, I can't begin to wrap my head around what God has prepared for me and for you who love Him. That's why it says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. What's waiting for us at the finish line is so amazing. That's why those who are saved would never want to come back. They'd never want to come back. You get one look at heaven, you don't want to come back. I was talking to someone. I don't remember who it was. Maybe someone here at the church. Maybe someone outside the church. They were telling me a story about their loved one. And they had, I knew who it was. It was Brother Dale. Tell me about your daddy. He died at the VA in Nashville. Died on the operating table. And this story was so amazing because it's a double miracle. Because usually when you die on the operating table, they say, that's it. Why sew you up? Why do anything? You're dead. You're having open heart surgery and you die on the table? That's it. We don't do anything else. We don't close. We don't clean. We don't do anything. Dale said his daddy died, and they had him in the freezer box at the morgue. And he was inside there. He had the tags on his toes. The guy came down to get him and embalm him, and he pulled it out, and his daddy came to life. True story. Years later, when he went to the VA, 20-some years later, the nurse who was in the operating room told him, he says, you were dead! You're dead! 20 years ago, you were dead on the operating. How is it you're here? because he came back to life. And Dale told me, if I'm getting the story right, he said his daddy got this little glimpse of eternity, and he saw his daddy. And his daddy said, son, it's not time yet. You got to go back. And about that time, he woke up, and the guy was pulling him out of where the dead bodies are pushed in the thing. The Apostle Paul got a glimpse of heaven. He said, I saw things were not lawful for man to utter. And when it came day to get his head cut off, you know what he said? He says, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. It wasn't with fear that he went to the chopping block. It was with anticipation. Now, I haven't seen heaven, but I'm looking forward one day when the windows of heaven are opened. Mom and dad and people that we loved, and they say, son, man, wait till you see what God's prepared. And the angels of the Lord and Jesus and the beauty of heaven. It's inconceivable. The race is still going because our eyes are open and we're here. But which eternity are you racing to? And how are you running your race? I don't want to get disqualified. I don't want the Lord to tell me you ran, you cheated. You didn't run a good race. I'm so ashamed of you. I don't want the Lord to tell me that. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You ever see a NASCAR when the cars are wrecked? You know, they do finish the race according to the number of laps that they completed. Even though the race isn't being run, those 25 cars that got knocked out, or 10 cars that got knocked out, or 5 cars that got knocked out, they have a place in the race that they completed by number of laps. Isn't it sad when your car has to be pulled across the finish line with a wrecker? You know how a lot of Christians cross the finish line? Behind a wrecker. And their life is wrecked and ruined and never amounted to be what they could be. How are you running the race? Got to be careful how you run the race. Because it's fast and it's furious. And it's going to be over before you know it. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Susan's coming. Brother Doug's coming this morning. How's the race? How's the race going? How's your race going? How's your life? How's your Christianity? Make it personal. How do you stand before Jesus this very moment? You got to make it personal. I say, well, don't look at Brother Chris. Look at yourself. How's your race? What is it you're doing? In which eternity are you going to arrive at? That is a serious thing. That is a serious thing. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to all of us. Because we're all going to be in that evil net one day. We're all going to be in that snare that takes a bird suddenly. And God, there's nobody that can retain the spirit in the day of death. And it's probably going to be sooner than it is later. And I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to all of us. And God, we consider how we're running this morning. Lord, that we consider where we're running. And Lord, that we might consider who we're getting in the car with us. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. Please do what needs done in this invitation. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed.